airport the other night. Was it yours?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to open up an informational, it doesn't have to be informational. I'm going to open up the hearing, the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. Today is Monday, February the 9th. It is 3 o'clock. We are gathered here today for the purpose of a public hearing and public testimony on Senate Bill 5536, the Oregon Racing Commission. And I'm going to start by making a couple of administrative announcements. Representative Reed is excused, and I would ask the record to reflect that. Senator Monroe has a conflict to declare, and I would invite him to do so.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, thank you very much. My daughter-in-law is the chief financial officer at Portland Meadows, and so I need to declare on any action we take on the Racing Commission, I need to declare a possible conflict, not a possible, a real conflict of interest.
Thank you. Your conflict is noted. I would like, on behalf of Representative Gomberg and myself, to introduce to the committee and to the public that's listening Commissioner Mark Labhart from Tillamook County, who's sitting in the back of the room. The Oregon Racing Commission and their conduct is particularly important given that the Tillamook County Fair is one of the few fairs that still sponsors race meets, and they are one of the most exciting and energizing parts of the entire county fair, which is a renowned county fair regionally, maybe even nationally. And then last but not least, I am going to relinquish the gavel to Representative Gomberg, but before I go, I would like to acknowledge the chair of the Racing Commission. Chairman Dudley and I grew up about five houses away from each other, and I will resist the temptation to say how many millennia we have known each other, but a really long time. So with that, I'm going to excuse myself, give the gavel to Representative Gomberg, and I will return. Thank you.
Thank you much, Senator. I should also note for the record that Representative Reed is excused today. Anything else from the members of the committee before we begin? All right, Senate Bill 5536. If you'd like to come on up, introduce yourselves, and tell us which order you'd like to proceed in.
Okay.
And is there anything you want to share with us before we begin?
I would just like to, again, Michelle Deister with the Legislative Fiscal Office, just want to let you know what materials are available for your edification on the OLIS system. We have today's agenda, obviously, and we also have the governor's budget document is on CD. It's in two parts, parts one and two. You have an overview by the Legislative Fiscal Office, which kind of lines out particular kind of a summary of their programs and what they do. And policy option packages, should there be any, but in this case they're not, so this is the perfect agency to start with. Let's see, and then of course the agency's actual budget presentation, a copy of their slides and a copy of their appendices are also on your computers under OLIS. If anyone needs help finding those, wave a hand and I'll be happy to come drive your computer for a second and show you where those are. So with that, I won't really belabor the point. And following, I think following the agency, we also have Travis Miller here from the Chief Financial Office, who is the executive counterpoint to me. And they've got a few wrap-up slides as well towards the end of the presentation. And those slides are also on OLIS for you.
Excellent. Yes, Senator.
I'm raising my hand for you to come help me.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, then I won't say for the official record who was asking for help.
Thanks.
All right, please, who's going first?
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Gomberg and members of the committee. My name is Jack McGrail, and I'm the Executive Director of the Racing Commission. With me to my left is Karen Parkman. She's the Program and Administrative Coordinator for the agency, and she's done a lot of the heavy lifting in putting this presentation together. It's my first opportunity to present a budget, and I appreciate her help. I also want to thank Michelle Deister, LFO, and Travis, CFO, budget analyst, for their assistance in this process. I have some brief comments I'd like to make before we get into the slides that will give some context, I believe, to what you're going to see. We're a small agency. We have a distinct industry that comes with some unique issues and responsibilities. We are an other fund agency. Basically, we're self-funded. and self-supporting. We do deliver to the state approximately $1.3 million in projected revenue over the biennium. This industry is an economic engine. The last analysis showed there was a $200 million annual estimated impact from the horse racing industry and all the ancillary businesses that are involved. From the agency standpoint, we're different than almost any agency in the country, any racing agency. We have two separate components, really, within our regulatory purview. First of all, we regulate all the live and simulcast racing and parimutuel wagering in the state. Portland Meadows, its network of OTB sites, and is the commercial race meet we regulate. The fair meets in Union, Grants Pass, Prineville, Tillamook, and Burns. They are the summer circuit. And there are 23 days of live racing from June through September at these venues. These are vitally important events to the community. We, as a commission, we fund the purses. We pay a large portion of the jockey insurance premium. And we provide all the regulatory personnel necessary to run a race meet. These are stewards, veterinarians, test barn technicians, investigators, and all the licensing personnel. They're all on site for these meets. I would encourage any of you that are vacationing or living in those areas to come out to a day at the races, because they are exciting. It's kind of a throwback. They're half-mile tracks. The action is palpable, and you can get right up close and personal. So we think they're a great addition to the fair offerings. The second and equally important, less exciting regulatory component of the commission involves the licensing and regulation of national and international advanced deposit wagering companies. These collectively, over $2 billion is wagered annually through internet and phone-based platforms of these companies. And these are the companies, these are the nine advance deposit wagering companies that are licensed through the state of Oregon. As we go through the slide, you'll note the importance of these companies to the industry here. That will become evident. Oregon has attained primacy in the business and best business practices with regards to these ADW companies. The license that we deliver is the industry's gold standard, and it denotes that you are providing your customers with value. There's a rigorous oversight. We employ one full-time person strictly as a regulatory agent for those companies, ensuring third-party vendors and customers are protected. And notably, the ADWs actually welcome that kind of oversight. It allows them to manage the businesses and to use that as a basis for other contracts that they might be interested in getting. The audit and compliance function is paramount. We also have to understand, though, that other jurisdictions are seeking that business. We remain at the forefront nationally, and we endeavor to continue to do that. I'm a fan of horse racing. I'm an avowed fan. It's a great sport. But I also see the jobs behind the horses. When you look at owners and trainers and grooms and farriers and feedmen and tack suppliers and veterinarians, these are just a few of the jobs that are directly related. And then you have all the ancillary employment and economic impact. Our folks, the ones we license and work in the industry here in Oregon, they're not participating in it to get rich. We don't have a purse structure that other states have, Kentucky or California, Florida. These are devoted people. They're devoted horsemen and women. We are hoping with the advent of instant racing at Portland Meadows that the purse structure can be elevated to perhaps the Emerald Downs level, our neighbor to the north, or maybe even to Northern California levels, where we can compete for people can actually make a living at this endeavor. It was gratifying yesterday to see the Portland Mile, and thousands of people were at Portland Meadows yesterday for that event. And it's a signature event. It's the Oregon Bred race. We were fortunate to have the weather hold up pretty well yesterday, so it was just a very enthusiastic crowd, and it was good to see. Now, that meet, unfortunately, ends tomorrow as its last day, and they've gone from 60 days to 49 days to 36 days this year, so all of the horsemen, and some of them are here in this room, are looking forward to kind of growing that industry back and getting more race days at Portland Meadows, and then supporting the fairs in the summer. We have a short presentation. I'm happy to answer questions at any time at the chair's discretion. I'll defer to the committee on that if you have any questions and when you would like to ask them. But other than that, I'm ready to start the show.
All right, all good. Any questions so far? Please.
I'm not going to read directly this because y'all, I'm sure, can read, but the some of this I will just read. It's a little bit boring, but the regulation and facilitation of all aspects of the paramutual industry, that's our mission. We do it for the benefit of the citizenry, of the state, of the licensees, and all the participants in Oregon. The goal is to promote live racing, to enhance the industry and preserve the jobs. And there are thousands of jobs associated with racing in the state. We have staff to ensure safety and security of humans, horses, and property. I'll get into the details of that, the staffing levels later on, but they're all there, whether it's veterinarians or licensing personnel or investigators. And we are a leader. We do have a national prominence in the regulation of advanced deposit wagering companies, and we intend to continue. The commission was established in 1933. Portland Meadows was built in 1946 and 47, so there's a long history of commercial race meets here in Oregon. There's also a long history of kind of the half-mile tracks out in kind of the bush tracks that we call them, and that racing is important. It's an important element to the history here. It brings in tourism, and it's also a way for the communities to come together at those summer meets. In regulating the paramutual industry, we do have staff for audit functions. They review and reconciliation of statements from the tote companies and the tote figures. We have those people on site and at the fairs. It's all about the integrity. The people we license are their background checked before they get a license. The horses are viewed and reviewed by the state veterinary personnel and the wagering system. There's a confidence there that there's a fair and level playing field because we're out there and we're making sure that there is. The stakeholder and target groups, the horse associations include the Oregon Horsemen's Benevolent Protection Association. They represent the owners and trainers. OTOBA, which is the Oregon Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, and their executive director is in the audience today. Linnell Smith, that is a group that is really trying to bring back the breeding industry in Oregon. With the commission support, we're hoping to breed more horses here and have more Oregon-bred races and races strictly for that breed. The Oregon Quarter Horse Racing Association is here as well. They're represented by Mr. Nelson. And those are the associations that we collaborate with in order to drive policy and figure out solutions. The commercial and summer fair meets, I think we've gone through that, as well as the ADW companies. The Future Racing in Oregon group, that is a coalition of stakeholders. Each group is represented with one vote. That's designed to foster a collaborative approach to what the problems are in the industry and how we can fix them, including joint requests for allocation of funds that the commission has control over. Fortunately, last biennium, we were able to get all of them to agree on a certain how they felt the money should be divided up, and that makes it easier for the commission to review those applications and to work through it and to figure out how those allocations should be appropriated. We think that's a very good organization. The org chart, if y'all can see that. I'll go through each individual components of the organization chart, but clearly then we have a commission of five commissioners. We're fortunate to have commissioners that are both knowledgeable in the industry and experienced, both in business, in law. We have veterinarians, so it's a very good group, a working group. The administration, we have four individuals that are reflected in the org chart in the administration side, working in the offices at Portland. Well, actually, we only have three right now, but we have a staff position for the fourth that we have left unfilled until we find out kind of what's going on with the race meet next year. The stewards. Stewards are really the referees. They're the bosses out at the racetrack. The most issues of any significance are brought to them. They're in charge of making sure that the track surface is up to standards, that the safety equipment is all in place, that the ambulances, both human and equine, are there. They really run the show at the race meet. They also have an adjudicatory function. If there is an incident and somebody is brought up on a certain, I don't want to say charge, it's not illegal, but something that might be improper at the racetrack, they are the ones that adjudicate those issues. We have a state veterinarian who's full-time, and we have vet techs who work in the test barn. The test barn is the area where a horse goes to after a race to collect blood or collect urine that is then delivered to our lab, Truesdale Laboratory in California, for analysis. We do have one of the best labs in the country. They're an accredited lab through RMTC, which is the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium. So they do have the imprimatur of a very valid finding when they make a determination. The supervisor of multi-jurisdictional advanced deposit wagering company operations. And that's a mouthful. That position is for the person who is day-to-day handling the ADW work, and that includes audit, reconciliation, customer complaints. We hired Connie Wynn last November to fill that position. She is currently in Pittsburgh doing an audit of one of our larger ADW companies, ExpressBet, and that audit will take 3 days. So that's the kind of oversight we provide. The paramutuals, if you look at that, is a person that we have out at Portland Meadows who essentially will take all the AmTote reports from the tote companies, analyze them, make sure everybody has gotten their fair share of whatever monies were wagered. It's primarily located at Portland Meadows. Occasionally we bring that fellow out to the fair meet, because we do have wagering out there as well, paramutual wagering at the fairs. We also go to the OTBs and do some inspection out there on an ad hoc basis. The funding streams. The business license and fees, the ADW licenses, and they account for about 70% of our operational budget. We currently license 9 ADWs. They are licensed at $200 a day, so their annual, most of them run 364 days, so that would be $72,800 per year for each of those nine participants. We also have licensees. We have 3,500 to 3,700 active licensees, and those licenses are $60 for a three-year license. So the bulk of our funding source is the ADW license fees. The charges for services, that is also known as outs in the business. That is essentially bets that have been, that are winning bets that are not cashed in by whoever would happen to drop their ticket or forgot about it. And that represents about $175,000 a year in revenue to the ORC. Fines and forfeitures, that's a small number, typically about $7,500 a year, $15,000 in the biennium. The paramutual receipts, that's a statutory number. That's 1% of whatever wagers are made in Oregon, either at the OTBs or at the fairs or at Portland Meadows, whether it's live racing or simulcast wagering. That figure is about $540,000 for the biennium. That represents those first four represent what we call the operational expenses of the agency. The funds that support the racing industry, those funds are derived from the taxes or paramutual receipts from the ADW companies. And that is in rule. Right now, there are several options, but most of the companies choose the 1/8 of 1% tax rate. So 1/8 of 1% that is bet through those ADW companies is sent to the Oregon Racing Commission. There is a cap on that. No company will pay more than $624,000 next year, or $671,000 in the following year, and then there's one more incremental increase, and then it is stopped at that point. Three of our companies actually do cap out; they hit the max. Most do not. Six do not. Some pay relatively small amounts to the agency in tax revenue. Those are the funds that go both to the state. 1/3 goes to the state, and 2/3 stay within the agency for distribution to the thoroughbred and quarter horse folks in the industry, including the fairs and the commercial race meet. Those are the funds that support racing in Oregon. The program performance, if you look at the key performance measures, the animal safety is a primary concern of the agency. We have a medication and safety committee that looks into all of the things with regard to track surface or medication or any kind of rule that would facilitate more and safer racing. We're proud of that record, frankly. That record in the last measuring period or reporting period for euthanization was 1.07 per thousand. The national average is almost 2 per thousand. So we're proud that we're well below the national average. We think it has a lot to do with our pre-race inspections, our veterinary inspections, and our veterinary personnel are in the paddock and the saddling ring and watching closely as the horses warm up, and if there's any issue, then the horse gets scratched. The horsemen aren't always happy about that, but we take great pride in making sure that only healthy horses are competing here. The license turnaround, we've expanded our licensing hours at Portland Meadows. We're now there 7 days a week. We have a turnaround time of 5 days or less, and
we have no complaints from any of our constituents or our licensees regarding the turnaround license time. That, I guess, goes hand in hand with the customer service. In terms of best practices, we continue to educate staff. We're involved with seminars. We're sending staff to different in various venues, whether with ARCI conventions or the investigators are going to, or one investigator is going to a convention in New Jersey to stay up on all the, be vigilant on what the new things are out there that they need to be looking for on the backside, let's put it that way. And I think it's important that we stay on top of those issues. They're things that the horsemen are cooperative, but we are the police force out there in some respects. So we have the investigators walking around, they're in the barn area, they're observing, and they're questioning. So we continue to meet our targets in these program performance areas. I think the drug testing program and utilizing that accredited lab has had a significant impact. The budget drivers and stability of the industry, I think I've touched on what are the important budget drivers for Oregon, and that is maintaining primacy in the ADW field. The paramutual side, as you know, paramutual wagering has declined over the last decade or so. There's just been a proliferation of other options for folks. You know, casino lottery, that's undoubtedly taken a toll. You can see that at any racetrack in the country. Track used to be the only place you could go to make a legal wager, and clearly that's not the case now. So we are making some efforts through, I think, and I appreciate the legislation that was passed in the last 2 years to authorize instant racing at Portland Meadows. We do feel that may have a significant impact. Those wagers will go to support purses at the race meet, and hopefully that will bring this or reinvigorate this industry. The Frog Group has also brought new ideas to the table, some new energy, and we do think that we've plateaued, or bottomed out, I guess I should say, in the decline. I saw that racing paramutual handle did go up 2.3% in January, so there may be something changing along those lines. Revenue shifts, you know, we're pretty stable in the revenue. Again, it's really dependent on the ADW companies and some of those larger companies, what they do. They're happy with Oregon right now. There are states competing for that business, though. I've had nothing to indicate that they're not going to stay with the state of Oregon in July when most of them are up for re-licensing. And those licensing, they could shift at any time, but right now, at least the sentiment is that they're all going to stay here. The current and future state of racing, well, we see it as an uptick now with instant racing and the success of this last meet, and we're hoping that that is the case. The impact on the local and rural economies, I think that's a brighter, rosier picture. When we go out to those fair meets, it's a lot of people who are enthusiastic and happy to be there. The people who run those fair meets are happy that we're there. They do need and appreciate that economic impact that we bring to those counties, particularly the Harney County Fair in Burns in September. I think I've already touched on the retention of ADW companies. It's a critical goal. I think we've made progress. I don't feel there's anything to more to add to on that one, and the Future Racing in Oregon group. The changes over the past 10 years, I've only been here for just about 20 months, but I know from looking at the records that the Portland Meadows meet used to be of a longer duration. It ran from October to February this year to tomorrow. You know, in 36 days is a very short race meet, frankly. We are looking to improve on that number, although that's not really within the commission's purview. It's really up to Portland Meadows to decide they can afford to run it longer, and the purses really are a function of how long your race meet is, because if you can't run for more than $40,000 or $50,000 a day, you can only run for that period of time. That's kind of the bottom. And if you look at it in baseball, we're kind of like a double A or a single A track right now, and we're hoping to move that needle a little bit. But if only $50,000 per day is available, you can only run for that many days as a multiplier. And right now that was 36 days, so that's why the both the Stronach group and the horsemen agreed to that number. The growth in advanced deposit wagering, I think that has been huge for the state of Oregon. There was some prescient person here in Oregon who said we will get that business, and they did. And we do have the largest ones in the world here in Oregon, and we're going to continue to keep those folks as best we can. I don't see much growth in that business because they're really they're being taxed in other states now, and I see only the bigger ones surviving, frankly, and we're fortunate to have those here. I think one of the things I would mention is that the Horse Medication Safety Subcommittee, which is formed and part of the Racing Commission, that has been a significant contributor to the process, including reviewing proposals from the horsemen, reviewing RMTC, that's the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium, proposals for uniform safety and drug regulation. We're in the process of reviewing those for possible adoption within the next few months. Included in that is what's called an MMV system, which is a multiple medication violation system, which would really have significant impact for anyone who violates these medication protocols. I'm going to skip to the staff reduction on this one. We have consolidated the licensing position. There used to be a full-time licensing position, and we've consolidated that. We now have licensing and investigators in the same grouping. We also have a chief investigator position that we have not filled. Again, it kind of depends on what going forward the commercial race meet provides. If that expands and we start getting back to 49 or 60 days, I would fill that position. At this point, I think my instinct is that we can get by with the two people we have in that position at this point, with the paucity of racing we have right now. In terms of the stakeholder outreach, we're always meeting with the stakeholders, whether it's through the Frog Group or extensive email lists. We're out at the racetrack. We're very visible presence, both at the fairs and at Portland Meadows. And two of the commissioners actually sit on the Frog Group, so it's a kind of informal. We're not very hard to get a hold of. We're right there. So we feel good about the stakeholder outreach and the people we have contacted and can contact us at any time. Well, I guess I'll just touch on this a little bit, because most of this I've already kind of gone over, but live race meets are the, and particularly the one at the commercial race meet, kind of is the starting point. You need a live race meet at Portland Meadows, and everything else can feed off that. The fair meets are a tremendous source of basically income and community spirit, and the horses that run at those fair meets, they run for bonuses, and it is a great kind of circuit. But you do need a commercial race meet, otherwise people will stop breeding horses. So we're happy that the Portland Meadows, as I said, got the instant racing, and hopefully they'll continue to run this meet, and we can keep the vitality of those summer meets. I think I've gone through the tax issue there. The legislation that we had filed, we had a hearing on that on Friday. I think there was no opposition. It's basically an administrative appeal fee or bond, refundable of $50 that we're asking, that appellants when they file an appeal, that they pay that appeal bond. It is refundable. We have no interest in not allowing somebody to file an appeal or get a hearing before the agency. These are after they've been adjudicated at the steward's level, that they then appeal to the commission. And I think one of the telling statistics is that 11 out of the last 20 appeals have resulted in no-show defaults, and that's about $3,000 to $3,500 per incident for cost to the commission. So it's not an insubstantial number. It's not going to change racing in Oregon, but we do feel that that would at least deter some of those licensees who are just filing these things frivolously. I am done. If you have any questions, I'm certainly happy to take any.
Oh, thank you, Mr. McGrail. I'm going to pass the gavel back over to my co-chair and try not to adjourn Ms. Deister in the process.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Representative yeah. Whitsitt.
Thank you. I, for many years, was a technical delegate, a steward for the United States Equestrian Team Federation, and so I was wondering what your program is like for your stewards and how they're licensed, and if they're part of a larger program for the United States, like we had to meet U.S. qualifications for it.
Thank you, Chair Gomberg and Johnson, Representative Whitsitt. They are licensed and accredited stewards. They also do I believe it's every year they have continuing education, and they sponsor we collaborate with the state of Washington. It's either up at Emerald Downs or down here. Last year it was here at Portland Meadows, so they continue that education, but they are fully accredited. The program ROPE is the accrediting agency, and that accreditation will only stay with you if you continue your education. These stewards, we have very well-qualified stewards. One's an ex-jockey from California, and another has been around racing all his life. His father was a trainer. So we're cognizant of the need to have qualified people, capable people in that role.
Follow-up, Representative Whitsitt. And before you ask your question, would you please, for the benefit of the committee as well as people listening, what are the duties of a steward? What would be the typical responsibilities?
Yeah, he was explaining you make sure that the footing is okay for the competition arena, at least what I was doing for dressage, and that the equipment is that it's proper equipment for the sport. If they have a violation, then they get written up and pulled out. And the horses in the case, we didn't have necessarily veterinarians on site, so it was up to the stewards or technical delegates to determine that the horses weren't being abused. And so we had a process by, if somebody saw a horse being abused, I'd have to go over and write them up, and then they would have a hearing and this sort of thing. So it's just, you make sure that everything is being done properly according to the rules, and there's a big set of rules on for the American Equestrian Federation.
Thank you. That was helpful. Now your question.
Okay. I was wondering what kind of track surface you have there, if it's a new track surface or if you have dirt. You know, there's the new composition track surface that they have in some of the bigger tracks around the country.
Chair Gomberg, Co-Chair Johnson, Representative Whitsitt, we have a sand-based track at Portland Meadows. The composition of that track is really a function of our climate. It really drains well. It probably would not be good in any other part of the country, but it's really a sand-based track. The composite tracks that you're talking about, most of the larger racetracks have actually discarded those. They still run them at Golden Gate, but Santa Anita ripped theirs out and went back to sand or dirt, and so did Keeneland in Kentucky. Most of the larger racetracks experimented with it, and they found that there were the injury data was not conclusive. So they have gone back at Del Mar as well to sand or dirt tracks.
Thank you, Representative, or Senator Monroe.
Thank you. Is it true that if Portland Meadows folds, that the local fair runs would not be far behind?
Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, Senator Monroe, that, if I were asked to speculate, I would say that would be true. I don't know if the funding was there. The fairs may stay around for a little bit, but the investment required to keep a horse on the track and training without a commercial race meet it's improbable that you would have enough horses left to run at the fair meets if you did not have a commercial race meet.
You know, we would not only lose all the jobs at Portland Meadows and affiliated, but on those six fair meets as well as those people involved in breeding and all the other auxiliary industries, and that's some $200 million a year, I've heard.
Chair Gomberg and Johnson, Senator Monroe, it was $200 million in the last analysis that was done at the last impact study. Said it's dated August 2012. That's the number that was used, the $200 okay. million dollar annual economic
Betsy
impact.
Betsy and I are going to try make sure that doesn't happen.
Be catastrophic for Tillamook. Senator Hanson.
thank you, Co-Chair. I just want to make sure I heard correctly. There's $175,000 every year that comes back to you of people that don't claim their winnings.
Chair Johnson, Gomberg, and Senator Hansel, that is about right. I think the check was $140,000 this year. So we kind of gauge when we do our budget based on projections. And it does depend on how many race days there are, frankly. The fewer the race days, the less people drop in winning tickets. But that's why if you've ever seen a Belmont Stakes or somebody, they have sweepers there. People are just, that's all they do is sweep up losing what are perceived to be losing tickets. Yes. Some of them aren't.
Follow up, Senator Hansel.
Real quick, do you receive any income from off-track betting? Is that what the ADC does? I mean, what, or is it just all within there? And I've got a follow-up if depending on your answer.
Chair Johnson, Chair Gomberg, Senator Hansel, we... Off-track betting has to be distinguished from ADWs. Off-track betting is, we do get revenue through whatever bets are made. There are 8 off-site facilities that are licensed through the Oregon Racing Commission that are owned by Portland Meadows. So they are the owners of those, not necessarily the brick and mortar, but they run those off-track betting facilities. We get our 1% share of any wagers made at any of those 8 off-track betting facilities. Those are brick-and-mortar places where you would go to make a bet if you were in Bend or somewhere and you couldn't get out to the racetrack. That is not an ADW, which is more of a computer or telephone wagering service.
Where does that show up in your budget? Where would that come in then on the categories that you were talking about?
I'm sorry, which...
Where does that...
The OTB?
Yeah. Was that a distinct... Did I miss it?
No, it's on the... I'm sorry.
Where would it be?
Hansel, it's on the licensing.
Be under the licensing headlines or heading then.
I'm sorry, it's under the paramutual receipts.
Which slide is that one?
Eight.
Eight? Hey. Okay. And then
follow up.
Thank you. You mentioned changes in the last 10 years. I'm wondering what are any, the rise of tribal gaming, has that affected your operations, or do you get a percentage of that as well? What's the relationship there with the tribal gaming on offsite?
Chair Gomberg, Chair Johnson, Senator Hansel, and that would be difficult for me to speculate. I don't know that there is a great impact from tribal gaming. There's no casinos located very close to Portland Meadows. There's a trend in the industry where paramutual wagering has gone down over the past decade. I think most people attribute that in part to other gaming options.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. And Mr. McRail, thank you so much for being here today with this comprehensive overview. I say that sincerely, but I have a question that may be a little bit off track, if you'll forgive the pun. Where is your commission's webpage administered from? Is that in-house? Is that done in another department? Is that done someplace outside the state? Who's taking care of your webpage?
We do.
You do it in-house. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
If I could, certainly we appreciate the detailed information you're bringing us here, but a member of the public who's interested in learning more about you would normally Google the commission, click on the link, and go to your webpage, which is exactly what I did a few minutes ago. What I found there was under recent news, the most recent news was your 2013-14 race list. I found your performance measures for 2011 posted there. I found that your list of suspensions was last updated in May of 2013, and that the list of commissioners hasn't been updated since 2013. I couldn't find your handsome face anywhere on the page. It seems to me that the public looking for information could stand to benefit from a cursory review of the and updating of the website.
Okay. Co-chair Gomberg, I would agree, and we will take care of that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleagues, any other questions? Representative, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I'm not as familiar with racing as Representative Woodson is. What is instant racing?
Chair Gomberg, Chair Johnson, Representative Nierman,
really
the instant
horses.
Racing is a legislatively approved paramutual wagering on historic races.
I think maybe you need to amplify that just a little bit more. I know what it is, and I wouldn't have known from your answer. Help us.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. The idea is that you can generate there's a library of historic races that have been previously run, and it's a terminal where you can sit at. It looks somewhat like a lottery terminal, frankly, and you can sit and you can wager a quarter or a dollar in, and you choose or select the horses and the finish, and then you watch the last 15 seconds of the race, and you either collect or you're not able to collect. It was a kind of an innovation in the industry. It started back in 2000 in Oaklawn Park in Arkansas, and it's now in Kentucky and Wyoming and Idaho, and Oregon passed legislation, I believe in 2013, authorizing it. I think it's under chapter 462.155. And then with consult with the Justice Department, we went back in last year and passed us, or they passed us, Senate Bill 1537, which addressed some of the Justice Department concerns over it. And the hope is that it's a paramutual wager that will generate income for the horsemen for purses for live racing.
It begs the question, though, clearly, if I know Seabiscuit won, how do I avoid fraud?
Thank you, Chair Johnson. All identifying characteristics are taken out of the picture. So when you see it, you don't know whether it was Aqueduct in 1979 or it was Philadelphia Park or if it was, you don't know these horses or where it was run. You do get some information on a pie chart that you're able to get perhaps the jockey's statistics or the trainer statistics or the horse's lifetime performance records. But that was my question, too, if you could just sit there and go through and find a race that you knew. But you can't do that. It's not. There's thousands and thousands of races in this library.
Follow-up, Representative Nearman. Yeah,
could I please? It's not really a follow-up. It's another question. Thank you, Madam Chair. So you have two investigators, two FTE investigators. What kind of things do they investigate?
Chair Gomberg, Chair Johnson, and Representative Nearman, their investigations are mainly produced from lead tips they might get from the backside, whether it's somebody who might be using drugs on the backside or using alcohol or has a stove burning. We got one the other day where they were cooking oats, which is prohibited around, you know, because you're around a lot of combustible materials. They investigate. There are occasionally some fisticuffs back on the backside. There are any number of issues that can go on that they are responsible for investigating. And those reports, once generated, if there's a follow-up or if there's a charge levied, those go to the stewards for adjudication. Their drug swipes, they're authorized. We have a lot of authority. You submit to, when you decide you're going to be on the backside, you submit yourself to a lot of authority of the Racing Commission, because it's a dangerous area if you're impaired.
Did that adequately address your question, Representative Whitsitt?
I just have a question on your euthanasia statistics. How many, when you figured it out, I suppose you broke it down, how many happened at Portland Meadows and how many happened in the Bush League? I would expect.
Chair Gomberg, Chair Johnson, I'm Representative Whitsitt. I'm not sure on that last statistical. I happened to do one for a public records request last a couple of weeks ago, and there were two in this racing calendar, one of which was at Portland Meadows and one was at Union.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, any other questions? Because we have one person signed up for public testimony. Okay, there being none, the staff has brought me the sheet, and Dave Nelson from the Oregon Quarter Horse Racing Association has signed up to offer public testimony. So if we would ask one of you to withdraw so that Mr. Nelson can give his testimony, that would be lovely. Welcome, Mr. Nelson.
Chair Johnson, it's good to see you again.
From either.
For the record, my name is Dave Nelson. I have been on... been raising quarter horse racehorses since the late 1960s and have been on the board of the Oregon Quarter Horse Racing Association since 1972 and going on forward. Just wanted to spend a minute and tell you that, you know, since that time I've known most of the racing commissioners, if not all of them, from 1972 or 3 forward to today, and I would say that the racing commission you have now is probably one of the best that that the state of Oregon has had, and I think Mr. McCrail has done a very good job in the 1 year that he's been in slightly over 1 year that he's been in business. I was going to say that I've also known the Racing Commission Chairman, Mr. Dudley, since the early 1970s, and I wasn't really sure whether that should be disclosed or whether that was a handicap. And so we'll say that he's probably one of the better chairmen that they've had. I think the Racing Commission has done a very good job of regulating horse racing. I would comment to Senator Hansel's question about the growth of screen gaming, BLT gaming, whether it's at the lottery or whether it's at a tribal casino. That came into business in 1991 session when Larry Campbell was Speaker of the House and John Kitzhaber was President of the Senate, and they passed video poker authorization, which opened the door to Indian casino screen gaming at the time. And number of screens available to game in went from zero to over 12,000 during the 90s, and by 1997, really. During that time, and by at 1990, the total wagering, which the commission and which the horse industry and the greyhound industry derived their revenue from, dropped from $120 million annually, which was including the fares, down to $63 million annually. So the 1% off of those numbers was essentially cut in half by the growth of that competition. And if you look at the lottery numbers, the number of games that they put in the Tri-County area surrounding Portland Meadows and the Greyhound track was 50% of what their total amount was in the state of Oregon. So that competition really pared out the available revenue for the racing industry to operate on, cut it in half. So that's why, we've been back through the years to say, hey, help us. And at that time, the legislature clearly changed their expectation for revenue from racing to the lottery. And so the lottery became the golden goose, and racing was kind of just left to filter away. I think that the dog track went out of business in 2005, I believe it was. Klamath Falls race meet went out of business. The state fair race meet was closed just simply because of those competitions for a finite amount of money. I know Representative Witt some years ago asked me, I thought you were smarter than to race horses or raise horses that long. And I said, well, my mother was from Klatskanai. So, I will conclude my comments. We support their budget. I think they do a very good job.
Thank you for your testimony. Colleagues, any questions? I would just make a comment. As exciting as it might be to watch a race meet on a terminal, nothing equals seeing it live. And watching those magnificent, well-cared-for animals thundering past at the Tillamook County Fair, where you are as close to the racetrack as I am from you, is absolutely thrilling. And it is a good family event, a family venue. There are lots of folks that come specifically for the Paramutual Racing. It really is pretty exciting to see it live.
And the hot dogs. We appreciate those kind comments. We think it is, too. Very exciting.
Thank you for making the effort to come and testify. Any others that are moved by the spirit of public testimony that didn't sign the list? All right. We'll close the public testimony. And any concluding remarks from the commission?
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak this afternoon, and we appreciate your consideration.
Thank you very much. We would now hear from Mr. Miller on behalf of the Chief Financial Officer.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Travis Miller with the Chief Financial Office, and I'm here today to present the Governor's 2015-17 budget for the Oregon Racing Commission. In terms of emerging issues, there's not much to report on other than kind of the general state of racing. This budget maintains current operations. There were no policy option packages, so we essentially approved what they asked for. In terms of the the nexus between this agency and the governor's 10-year plan. It connects with the public safety vision, ensuring that Oregonians are safe and secure wherever they live, work, and play, and really just essentially ties to the mission statement, making sure the racing is safe for both participants and that there is no fraud. Looking at the budget, it's a total funds budget, exclusively other funds, of $6.02 million. It's a 1.9% increase over the legislatively adopted budget. And there's also been a 3.3% reduction in services, in personal services, as well as some other reductions. It maintains the 15 positions, as well as the 13.27 FTE. The ending balance is just over 1 month, and while that would seem particularly small for an other funded agency, this agency's revenues are front-loaded, and so a significant portion of the revenue comes in August and September, well over half, 70%. So they don't have to make it very long. The real revenue issue from the standpoint of this agency is managing their cash flow for the other 8 months after it comes in. That essentially concludes my presentation. If there are any questions.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions for Mr. Miller? There being none, thank you, Mr. Miller, for your presentation. Any concluding remarks from the commission? None? Then I think we've concluded our business, Ms. Dyster. Mm-hmm. Colleagues, anything for the good of the order?
I would just mention that tomorrow we are back, same place, same time, and we will be hearing from the Oregon Real Estate Agency. And those materials are already posted to OLIS for your edification.
Thank you very much. There being nothing else, I am going to declare the committee adjourned. Nothing else.